Well, today we're going to look at a passage of Scripture that for most folks is very familiar. And I'm hoping that maybe I can add something on top of that that will make you think even more about this psalm. It's Psalm 23. You've heard it many times, and as I've talked with a few folks this morning, they told me, yeah, you get to hear it at funerals all the time. And the unfortunate thing is that's one of the few times we do get to hear it, is at funerals. And that's not what it's really meant to be. It's meant to be something so much deeper. It's meant to be something that gives you a lot more thought, a lot more understanding about things. It's David's journey is what it is. David didn't have the best of lives. David was one who was probably wrong as much as he was right. And for those of us that feel like we can't get our journey right sometimes, maybe we need to look at David's life and realize he had a lot of problems. But there was one thing that King David did have. He had an incredible relationship with God. An incredible relationship. And he's known in Scripture as one who was after God's own heart. After God's own heart. So listen to these words, and it may be a little bit different than you remember them, because most people have this in some way or another memorized in the King James Version. And I'm going to be reading from the NIV. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now this psalm is filled with wonderful poetic language. Wonderful poetic language filled with metaphors of deep meanings. Very, very deep meanings. And I imagine that as I read the Scripture, that many of you had pictures in your mind, and maybe the pictures jumped off from the picture I'm using as a backdrop. And you thought about different things and about what was going on in the psalm and what King David was talking about in his relationship with God. I only know about sheep because I watched them when I was at Virginia Tech. And being the probably not the smartest beach bum in the world, walking out amongst the pastures and thinking nothing different about that, and how much danger that might be with all the animals in the pasture. And just walking out there and watching them and looking at them and seeking to understand them. Because, you see, I didn't grow up with a shepherd. So this metaphor and this image that David uses here, even though it has deep and rich meanings that I can study about and I can dig into and I can envision in my mind, there's still something more. There's still something more. Because you see, before David was a king, he was a shepherd. So it comes richly out of his experience. It comes richly out of what he has done. Remember when Goliath was before the people? Remember that? I hope you know that story. Goliath was before the people, and Goliath said, "Send out your best warrior. I challenge whoever you have. And this God that you serve is no God." Well, David had been tasked with a very simple task by his father. Here's some food. Take it to your brothers out on the battle line. Take them some food. Give them something to eat, much more than maybe they're getting. And David happened to be there as Goliath came forward, and David heard it. And David said, I got to do something about this. I have got to do. Now, I want you to realize, though, at this time in his life, David was probably a teenager. Maybe 12, maybe 13, maybe 14, maybe 15. All he'd ever done in his life is watch after the sheep. And us beach bums say, how hard can that be? Watching after a bunch of animals that just kind of walk around and just lead them different places, that can't be a tough job. Otherwise, they wouldn't give it to a young teenager like that, right? And David looked at his brothers and he said, are you going to do something about this? He said, I'm going to. And they said, what are you doing here trying to grab glory? What are you doing here trying to look like the big shot? And David went to King Saul and said, I'll do something about this Goliath dude. And 8 foot tall, probably at least 4 foot wide. I mean, this is a big dude. And David said, I'll do something about him. And King Saul says, let me put my armor on you so that you will be protected. And they did that, and David said, there's no way I can fight with this on. And it says he went and found 5 smooth stones. There's been a lot of questions on why he found 5 smooth stones. You know why they think that? I think the rabbis said that Goliath had 4 brothers. Because David only needed one. I think the rabbis came up and said he must have had 4 brothers, and that's why David got 5 stones. Those rabbis will think about anything, won't they? And David went out with a slingshot and 5 smooth stones and killed the giant of the Philistines and cut his head off with Goliath's own sword. You say, how does a little shepherd boy do that? Do you realize being a shepherd boy, he had to fight off lions? He had to fight off other wild animals that might try to get after the sheep? Do you realize that? I think David even says he fought off a bear. He must be kin to Davy Crockett. What do you think? You see, David was much more, even as a teenager, than many of us ever have been. That was very natural for David to say these words, the Lord is my shepherd. It was very natural because he knew what it meant. He knew what it meant to be a shepherd. He had lived that life. You see, many people through many centuries have been able to connect deeply with David and David's words. Many people have connected. Almost every family that I'm with for funerals request this scripture. It's a scripture that they have found deep meaning in. It's a scripture that I like to use at the graveside, particularly because sometimes wherever the cemetery is, people are not able to hear the pastor sometimes as he speaks at the graveside. But you know what I see when I look around and I read the words of Psalm 23? I can watch people's lips move. Whether I speak very loud or not, they hear those words. Because somewhere along the line, they became familiar with them. Somewhere along the line, they knew what David was talking about. They have found some kind of meaning and comfort and understanding in those words. However, here's what I want to say. The metaphors can only be as deep, though, as the person's relationship with God. The metaphors can only be as deep, though, as a person's relationship with God. And if you study what it means to be a shepherd, and you study these metaphors that David used, there is incredible depth in them that you'll never get to the bottom of. Incredible depth. I didn't know until I did some studying on this psalm many years ago that sheep do not like moving water. They have a fear of moving water. What does it say in this psalm? The Lord leads me beside still waters. You see, the shepherd knows how to help the sheep find those still waters where they will stay peaceful and calm. Last Saturday, I guess it was, Deanne and I went down to Saltville to look at the heron rookery down there. If you've never seen the heron rookery down there, now's the time for you to go. There are 50 heron nests, blue heron nests, on the North Fork of the Holston River in three trees. And the herons are standing on the nest. In about 3 weeks, we all hope, the leaves will be out on the trees and you won't be able to see the herons. Now's the time to go. So if you don't have anything planned for this afternoon, just drive down to Saltville. It only takes about an hour to get down there and about an hour back. But it's wonderful just to look at them. They're on 92, just north of town. Absolutely wonderful. As we were coming back from Saltville to get back to the interstate, we looked over and saw something I had never seen in my life. I've seen animals in the pasture. I've seen cows and tried to identify them around here as whether they're left-legged or right-legged cows. Those of you, especially from West Virginia, know what I'm talking about. We saw about 15 or 20 sheep following one. They were all in a perfect line. It didn't look like a mob or a herd or a crowd. They were all in a perfect line, following one right after another. It was as though someone was leading them and helping them and guiding them. Now, I will admit, there was a little bit of a worn path there. Looks like they had walked that path up that side of the hill who knows how many times. But there they all were, nose to tail, and practically touching each other, walking along. It was an incredible sight to see. I've seen them as a herd or a flock walking across the field. But I've never seen them do that by themselves. And both Deanne and I just looked and said, wow. And I wonder, as I think about that, what would that be like if God were to see the people in the church walking that way? What would that be like? You see, these metaphors are deep and they're rich and they're wonderful, but they're about a relationship with God. And each one of us knows God by a different metaphor. Do we have any besides Eric over here, do we have any sheep farmers? I know Eric's got some, but so most of us don't know what it really means to be a shepherd, do we? We've heard people talk about it. Maybe we've read an article about it. Maybe we've heard pastors talk about it before. You see, all of us know God by a different metaphor. All of us know God by a different metaphor. Two ways that I've taught people a deeper meaning of Psalm 23. One, I want to do with you today. The other way that I have done, and we did this in the Sunday school class last year, I asked them to go home and write the opposite of Psalm 23. The opposite, the negative of Psalm 23. I have no one who guides me, and therefore I am always wanting things. And I know some of you are thinking, ooh, that's not good to do. You don't do the opposite of Scripture. Here's what happens when you do that, and I just want to give that to you so you can think about possibly doing it. When you think about how to say the opposite of Scripture, you grab a hold of what Scripture means much deeper. Because if you don't understand what the sentence says, you can't write a sentence that's opposite of that. So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I have no one to lead me, and therefore I'm always in want. And do you realize there's a lot of people that that's how they would write Psalm 23? There's a lot of people in our community that would say, I have no one to guide me, no one to lead me, no one to help me, therefore I am always in want. I don't know where to get good food. And I especially don't know how to find the spiritual food. And all I can find is the fast-moving waters that will sweep me away instead of places that are calm and peaceful. Do you see the value of that? I've got to know what Psalm 23 says if I'm going to write the negative of it, if I'm going to write the opposite of it. I've got to understand these metaphors, and therefore it enriches what is there. The other thing that I've done with people is what I want to do with you today, some. What is your metaphor for God? What is your metaphor for God? You see, each one of us knows God by a different metaphor. Each one of us has had a different type of relationship with God. So that if I were to rewrite Psalm 23 with my metaphor, it might say something like this. God is my teacher and mentor. I always have someone to help me understand. God brings me spiritual wisdom as I spend time with God, showing me and helping me to understand. In the chaos of this society, God finds ways to help me understand how to straighten things out with an understanding. You see, that's what God is for me more than anything else. God is my teacher, my mentor, the one who brings me wisdom, the one who brings me insight, the one who helps me to understand how to interact with people. The one who helps me to see what is right in life. God's my mentor. And I can spend time with God straightening some of those things out in life. Now, see, I thought about that metaphor a little bit this week as I prepared for this sermon. And as I was sitting there while Kathy was singing, and I appreciate the song that she brought for us today, as I was sitting there, I wondered how I would write it as a beach bum. You see, God is my breeze that comes off the ocean. God is the calming of the waves that's coming in and out. God brings me to those places that are sunny and clear. And God keeps the wind from being too rough so that the sand and the salt don't blow into my face. What's your metaphor? What's your metaphor? You see, you need to think about that. Because your image of God reflects how your relationship with God is. For some people out in the midst of the community, their image of God might be an angry God up in heaven that says, "You shall not do this, and you shall not do this, and I'll be watching after you, and if you get it wrong, I'll be right on you." You see, that might be the metaphor that some people have of God. And there are some folks that do. Not the best metaphor, would you agree? Not the best metaphor. Scripture says that Jesus Christ came to save the world, not to condemn it. That's why 99% of the time you're not going to hear me preach fire and brimstone. Because all that's doing is scaring people out of hell. And they don't know where they're running to. People need to know who they're moving to. They need to know what metaphor they're moving. They need to understand God is a loving God. God is the God who sits and waits for the prodigal to come back home. God is the God who walks outside while they're having the party for the prodigal son and talks to the older brother and says, "Can't you find a way to let go?" You know, that parable is just not about the prodigal son. Because I definitely know some people that I have met in churches that when someone gets saved who has been the prodigal son, "Well, who are they to get saved? I've been living my life right my whole life. It's not right that they get to go to heaven just making that decision right now. They should have gotten their life straight sooner." And the parable of the prodigal son says the father comes outside and says, "Please, won't you let that go?" And the older brother says, "No." And there ends the parable. There it ends. Maybe it's more about the guy outside going, than it is about the guy who came back. Did you ever think about that? Otherwise, why didn't the story stop when the guy comes back? Maybe it's more about the attitude of those who've always been there, who've always done the right thing. You see, these metaphors are rich, aren't they? They're rich and powerful. How do you know God? What is the way that you know God? What speaks deeply about that? Do you have a relationship with God that is deep enough to have a metaphor? Do you have a relationship that's deep enough? What is your metaphor? What explains your relationship with God? I don't know why, but the past 2 or 3 weeks I've been thinking about this joke. So I guess that means I'm supposed to tell it here. Because it keeps coming back to me. It's about this elderly couple, and I think I might have shared it with you one time before. You know, and it addresses this. It addresses the thought that, you know, I'm not sure where God is. And I'm not sure how my relationship with God is. And it's about this elderly couple driving around in their pickup truck. You've seen that before, haven't you? Just a bunch of good old folks driving around in the pickup truck, maybe out for a nice Sunday drive at about 25 miles an hour under the speed limit. Not that I've ever experienced that. Where Deanne and I came from, there was a main road that went through our part of the county. And there was one family that never went over 45. And it didn't matter what age they were. From the oldest to the youngest, if you went out to Highway 47 and saw about five or six cars in a row, you know that first car was somebody from the Piercy family. You see these two older couple, they're driving around, and they pass by this other truck of a younger couple. And he's right there at the steering wheel, and she's right up next to him, just sitting as close as she can. You can't fit anything between the two. You've seen that, haven't you? They're so in love. They're just sitting so close together. And the lady looks at her husband and says, "Remember when we were like that? Remember when we used to do the same?" And she says, "I wonder what happened." And he says, "I'm sitting in the same place." You see, God's sitting in the same place God's always been sitting. And God wants to sit up that close to you. And God wants to hold your hand as you walk through this life. And God wants you to find these rich and incredible metaphors that explain your relationship with God. God is one who talks to me in the middle of the night. For the past 3 or 4 weeks, just about every night, for an hour to an hour and a half, in the middle of the night, I'm awake. Just as awake as you can be. And I'm laying there going, I really need to sleep so that I don't fall asleep during the sermon. And for an hour to an hour and a half, God and I just talk. Just as comfortable as I might talk with you, I ask a whole lot of questions. And I say, "God, you're my teacher and my mentor. Give me the answers I need. Give me the understanding on how to lead this church. God, lead me to the places of great green pastures where there's deep and rich understanding. And there's spiritual food that overwhelms more and more and more. And God, it's okay with me if you set the table in front of me and have my enemies sit at my table." Dig into that metaphor a little bit. God, you prepare a place for me in the presence of my enemies. When we got enemies, we don't sit down and have supper with them, do we? Invite them over to our house and make a nice pot roast and all that. And David says that's what's going to happen. Those are the people we need to win to the Lord. Those are the people that we need to pour out the love and the grace that God's putting on us. They're the people that need to see that. What's your metaphor for God? And is it a metaphor that talks about your deep relationship with God? And if it's not, may I suggest that you find another metaphor? And you start to live into that. I did this one time with a bunch of young adults when I first started going to church, really. And their images that they came up were absolutely incredible. I mean, there was one guy that was an electrical engineer. And if you didn't understand electrical engineering, you might not have got all his metaphors. But you know what? It was powerful. And I wish I still had a copy of it. It was powerful. I remember that. The way he talked about God showed an incredibly personal relationship with God. And he talked about it all using engineering terms. And some of us would go, oh, that just don't work. What I'm asking you to research is what works for you. You already admitted you didn't grow up tending sheep. What works for you? Let's pray. Lord, we come to you. We're here because we need you today. We're here because we need to understand this relationship more. We're here because we need to see a level deeper than we've ever seen before. Lord, you've called us to reach this community. And admittedly, we've had some missteps and problems with doing that. Lord, help us to see this relationship. Help us to understand it in a deeper way. Help us to know it, that we might live into it in a way that brings you glory and honor. Lord, we pray that you would help us to see a deeper meaning to Psalm 23. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.